That means the substitute fails. We're back to the original motion, which is simply to refer the budget to KPFT's local finance committee. There's currently no deadline in the motion. Is there an objection to this motion?
I have a point of information.
What's your question, Lydia?
So my question is, I'm assuming that at the finance committee you have management there anyway, right? So you can, everybody can work together on this. Is that the norm?
Well, the finance committee, the last finance committee was canceled.
Okay. Anyway, well, let's move on.
An amendment to my amendment.
Right. So I'm hoping that achieves the whole ball of wax. Okay. Thank you. In other words, I would urge management to be present, which would achieve both the amendment and including the finance committee. Thank you.
Adriana, you want to amend your motion? Go ahead.
Can anybody hear me?
Yes.
I'm being dropped again. I'm being dropped permanently now every time that I need to talk. My question is if I can make an amendment on my own motion.
You can. State the amendment, please.
Okay. You have one meeting that you said is Monday, right? And the next one is 18?
27.
No. The 27. Okay. If by the 27, but the meeting of the 27, if we don't have, the finance committee cannot come up with a budget, I propose that the finance committee will come up with a budget and we present it to the National Finance Committee. We have already all the numbers. I know that it's so difficult and they are so busy at KPFT. That's why we were trying to work with them in May, and we are able, the finance committee is able to produce a balanced budget. And we can present it to the National Finance Committee as we can discuss the budget.
Bill for the stack.
So I'm not clear what you're changing about the motion, Adriana.
Yes. If we don't have the Finance Committee, if we don't have management and we don't have a Finance Committee meeting before the 27th, right, with a budget from management that we agree with management, Finance Committee will present their own budget.
That's you mean the National Finance Committee or the local finance committee?
The local finance committee will present their own budget.
But how can they do that without meeting? I'm confused.
No, that's what I'm saying. No, the meeting will be. The only problem is we have 100 meetings, but we never agree because management agreed to change it, but then came back. And we go back and forth. That is my question. If we don't have an agreement by the 27th, prior to the 27th, the local finance committee will come up with their own budget to discuss.
Point of information, please.
Adriana, I think that's implicit in the motion. It's referred to the finance committee. They can bring any proposal they want back to this committee. For the record, I think it's really bad to have committees drafting budgets. If managers aren't responsible for generating them, then you can't expect them to follow them.
But the
finance committee is welcome to propose whatever it wants at whatever point it wants. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, I'm also concerned that if the intention is to bypass the LSB, what's the point of just going to the local finance committee and then bypass the LSB? If you want at the LSB's approval or involvement, then it's going to have to wait another month, which
it's
I'm not
exactly,
comfortable
it's
in
exactly
delaying
what
it that
doing.
Long. Well, I'm not sure we can put this off for 5 more weeks.
Adriana, I'm ruling that you don't need any additional language to accomplish what you said, which is that the local finance committee can propose things. But we need to put your motion to rest, which is to refer this to the local finance committee. And I'm objecting to it for the reasons I stated, so I'm going to ask the secretary to call the roll. Paul?
Yeah, I'm getting it in here. Okay, I paste that, and
is there a chance for a point of information, Brian?
What's your question, John?
But it's just a clarification. Is the intent of the amendment from Agriano simply bypass KPFT management and impose budget?
No. No.
I think it's to create, if I'm correct, Adrian, it's to create a consequence if management does not turn around a budget that's acceptable
exactly.
to the local
what's
committee.
Happened in the last 6 months. Exactly. That's the idea. To convince them that we need to talk and we need to agree and we need they need to follow what the PM, the Pacifica National Office, tell them to follow, and they didn't. That is intention.
Paul, can you please call the roll on Adriana's motion?
Yes. Okay, the motion is to refer the KPFT draft FY16 budget to the KPFT Local Finance Committee. Lydia Brazon. Lydia Brazon.
Yes.
That was a yes. Adriana Kasanov.
Yes.
Bill Crozier.
No.
Brian Edwards-Tiekert?
No.
R. Paul Martin pass. Tony Norman?
Abstain.
Michael Novick?
Abstain.
Serene Roberts? Nancy Sorden?
Abstain.
Barbara Whipperman? Back. R. Paul Martin? Abstain. Okay, the total is 2-4, 2 against, 4 abstentions.
Motion fails.
I call for the orders of the day.
Did I hear Tony Norman?
The motion, excuse me, the motion fails. The orders of the day have been called, which means we're going to move to the agenda item that we're 25 minutes overdue for, which is WPFW's budget. I understand.
Hey, Brian, I'm sorry to interrupt. This is Brian DeShazer. I've just rung in.
Hey, Brian.
Point of information, Brian?
What's your question, Adriana?
Tony abstained.
I didn't hear Tony Norman vote.
He abstained.
Oh, I didn't hear his vote. That was my question.
Brian, am I excused now?
You know, in fairness to the committee, Brian, and as I've already explained to them, it's entirely my fault. No one really had a chance to look your budget over before this meeting. If you're amenable, I think it'd be better if we took it up Monday night.
I agree, and I'm available to anybody for questions during working hours if you want to clarify or ask me about the budget, and then we can draft him and go forward. So thanks, everybody.
Okay.
Sorry.
Apologies for that, Brian.
No worries. Seriously. All right. Okay. It's all better. Okay, bye. Good luck.
Okay. We are on to WPFW. I understand we have WPFW.
Question.
Sorry, R. Paul.
All right. For the okay, so that was Brian DeShazer just now, and we are not doing 4B1. Is that it? We're not doing the PRA budget?
Correct.
Okay, so Brian DeShazer was here, and now he's gone. Okay.
We're on to WPFW's budget. Nancy Sorden sent out the latest version of the budget earlier today. And I believe we have WPFW's general manager on the call, waiting patiently. I'm very sorry.
Not a problem. I'm on.
I'd like to say what we did send was the template that Markeisha sent us as a preliminary, the preliminary thing that we're working with. And we have changes to that.
I'm sorry, you were breaking up some, Nancy. You said you want to propose some changes to it, or there's changes in here?
No, we're going to propose changes to the template that Markeisha sent us. So that's why we wanted Markeisha to stay on, so she would know what we're asking to be changed.
Okay. Why don't you or Jerry or whoever you want to take the lead or walk us through what it is and what you want to change?
Well, Mr. Chair, for the minutes, could I have the full name of the WPFW General Manager?
Yes. My name is Gerald A. Paris. That's G-E-R-A-L-D. Paris like the city. P-A-R-I-S. Copy.
Great. Thank you. And Gerald, will you be presenting the budget tonight?
Nancy has all the figures. We can work as a team. I prefer if Nancy started since she's the treasurer, if you don't mind.
Please, go ahead, Nancy.
Okay. Okay. well, let's see. Starting with the income side, we expect that we will have some income from the Mails Fund Drive. We did one last year. We don't have the actual figure on it, but when we get that, we will plug it in there. We are raising community special events, line 17, to $25,000 from $18,000, as we feel we can. We've had a good track record this year, in raising money for the events that we're repeating, and we will repeat them again. And we've also got a lot more events coming down the pike, and Jerry can tell you about those. He's got commitments from a number of people on that. For rent income, we receive $1,500 a month from our subleaser, so that needs to change from zero. I think that's it for changes to the income.
And line 24, I believe that income was put under miscellaneous and other income.
It's not in the thing that Markeisha sent. That's just...
Okay, so that appears in rent income. That's correct.
Okay. Any changes on the expense side?
Yes.
Would you like to tell us what they are?
Yes. Sorry, I'm trying to find the line. We expect that the line 79, the consultants, will go down to... We're not sure exactly what yet, but it's not going to be 71. We have to change that.
That will go down considerably because the number of consultants have been reduced generally by half.
And we will be converting to, we're going to try to get converted to employees, so that will go up. For that, and we need some guidance from Markeisha or Efren on how to put that in the budget.
This is what else when we get that.
The office rent will go up in March. There's a clause in our contract that it's going to go up a certain percent every year. So we need to change that. We can't remember what the percent was yet, but we're going to have to look that up. But it's like, no, we don't think it's any more than 5%. The utilities office, line 99, should be zero because our utilities are included with our rent. The repairs and maintenance general line 100 is probably going to go down. The monthly amount by about 400 to cover the HVAC contract, and it's going to go up by about $23,000 for the month of December when we will put in a new transmission line, and Jerry can tell you about that. Our aging transmission line is about to fail, so we really need to get that replaced. Go ahead.
Yes, yeah, specifically the transmission line that goes from our transmitter and makes its way up the tower to our antenna is the age of the station. It's over 30 years old and is in very bad shape, making our antenna effectively a weather instrument, and we have to reduce power when we have inclement weather. It will fail. It is something that we have to do. If we don't replace that line very soon, we will have a catastrophic failure that could have us off of the air up to a month. So that is our highest priority at this time. The typical price of that transmission line runs in around $15,000. We were able to locate one for half that cost, $7,000, and we're in process of securing financing for that now. But that is something that has to be put in the budget because it absolutely has to happen.
We were going to put in $1,000 for personnel search since we have to do another personnel search this year. Line 104 for our program director. We were wondering. I don't know if this is maybe we can ask Markeisha some questions later, but there's a couple things on here we were wondering about. We don't know why, what the programming services are on line 113, what that's for. We can't verify that amount. Let's see. The maintenance engineer, line 118, that should be... Go ahead, Jerry.
That's reduced by half. That was $2,000 a month. We had two maintenance engineers. We now have one. So that goes from $24,000 to $12,000. Reduction of 50%.
Okay. Jerry's really better explaining these details. I can tell you about this one, too. Line 123, the utilities tower, we expect to go up because of our higher power now.
Yeah, we are being at full power. Currently, the electric bills coming in at the tower are at around $5,000 a month. So that annual figure goes up from $54,000 to $60,000.
Okay, then coming down to development expenses, direct mail postage and direct mail printing, lines 133 and 134. We did that last year, around the end of the year. We expect to do it again. And so we thought we should just use the figures from previous, which were 23,000 for printing and 12,000 for postage.
And also, there's an income realized from that. We have yet to calculate that out accurately right now. We don't have any figures to work with.
Okay. And then, the community events, we're trying to get a figure, we're trying to get a bead on that. It's zero, and a lot of times we do get our community events expenses donated, so there's often not any expenses from that, but sometimes we do advertise and have some advertising costs and
and maybe some other engineering or engineering, but hiring of like musical equipment and things like that. And I think that's basically it for the changes to the template that we can identify now. Is there anything else, Jerry, that I missed?
No, that pretty much covers it. Again, there's some items like line 113 that need to be defined. We're not quite sure what programming services alludes to. And that's pretty much it for our adjustments. We believe we will still be in the black. We just have to sit down and do the basic math to see where we stand. As Nancy mentioned, we plan on doing many more community events this year. We have commitments from various community participants, i.e. Kennedy Center and some music outlets here in Washington have aligned with us, and we expect those events to do fairly well. I understand that a report outside of the budget, a report was also expected as regards how we are doing with our fund drive. We're doing a 3-week fund drive, started October 3rd, ends October 24th. Right now, we're approaching, we're halfway through, and revenue's at about 25%. Typically, there's a curve. We're still in the flat part of the curve, and funds pick up towards the end of the drive. Our stated goal was $350,000. Right now, we are just under $100,000. And those funds are very, very slow to accumulate. So that's what W is right now.
Adriana?
And Lydia?
Okay. I'll take a stack.
Bill?
Again, clearly, we won't be voting on the budget in the shape that it's in. So rather than debate, let's do questions. I heard Adriana. I heard Lydia. I heard Bill. I heard Paul. Is there anyone else who would like to be on stack?
Michael.
Okay. Michael, anyone else? Go ahead, Adriana.
Yes. I can see in this budget that you sent that it's the same problem that I saw in KPFT. You will have the real number from June, July, August, and almost September, that they are not here. And I don't see that the total have to do the Pacific National Office send a directive to use an average of all the previous years. And I can see that the revenue here doesn't have it. I didn't have time to check all the rest, but I can see that it's not in revenue. That is my concern. And I can see that obviously what you have doesn't have... we have from Efren the real numbers from June, July, and August of the revenue of income. And they are not here. Then the result, the 2015 projected, probably are wrong because you don't have that input. I don't know why we are not following the directives that the Pacifica National Office gave to all the units.
I believe that we were following the trends as suggested, and then we inserted real figures. We made adjustments. Nancy, can you speak on this?
I think that has to be adjusted too. We are getting more data from Markeisha
on income and expenses from May, June, July, through September. So we can really look hard at those right now, and we started looking at those tonight, and so we can.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry to interrupt, but what I was saying is, Catherine gave us
the
numbers from all the units.
I'm sorry, Adriana, you're breaking up there. Could you repeat that?
Yes, I was saying that Efren gave us the numbers, the real numbers from your columns AD, AE, and AF. We have those numbers at least from June, July, and August. You have the real numbers from the national office, and he sent that file about the income, the detailed income, till August 31st. It means those numbers should be there. I can send you that file.
Yeah, I do think that those were included because we did get a template earlier, which was different from this one. And those numbers are different than the first one. So I assume that the real numbers, the actuals, were included in this.
No, they are not.
Adriana, that's my fault, and I'll update them. But, I mean, you have to realize that every month that goes by, the budget may have already been submitted to you guys, and I'm not keeping track of, let me go back and update actuals, because every month we're going to get new numbers.
No, I understand that, Marquisha. My question was, what I was trying to tell them, that they can do it, but they don't need you going over that. The numbers that come from the national office, they can input it there. They can put it there.
They can copy and paste from the income statement.
Right.
I mean, the column should line up exactly, except you might need to adjust them at the cash and capital line.
So when we put in the actual numbers, which we should have gotten, that will automatically change the budget for 2016.
No, it'll change the projection for fiscal year 2015 that we're comparing the budget to.
I see.
So there's two separate issues. You have a bunch of things you want to change about the budget year, but we also want to make sure that there's a sound basis for comparison when we're looking at the difference between this year and next year.
Oh, okay. So it won't change the projection that's there now. It will just change the 2015 projection.
Exactly, okay. The comparison column.
Okay. It'll change the 2015 projection. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
That's good.
Lydia.
Yes, I was just curious. I've always been curious because I'm happy to hear that you're cutting down on consultants. For some reason, that seems to be problematic with PFW way preceding you, Jerry. And so I am curious, when you say 71, are you saying, or wait a minute, 71, you're going to cut it in half, so maybe 35. Are you just saying everyone that is not a permanent employee, such as services for cleaning and things like that, or are you talking about real consultants for your programming or for, I don't know what all the consultants are for. Give me a rough idea. You don't have to give me a complete rundown.
It would be more accurate to label that role contractors. We have a couple of, at least one full-time employee that is a contractor because he was not processed properly and put onto the payroll. So rather than him appearing on payroll and getting paid regularly, we have to cut a separate check for him. So that person would be added to payroll and would be removed from the contractor category. The overall number has changed, first of all, because we've eliminated a few contractors, but there are two remaining, and at this time the thinking is that one would go on to regular payroll and that the other would remain as a contractor. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. Well, when we're not on the call, maybe we can discuss that. You know, there's a hire freeze, so there's a process, and then we have to. You can only keep contractors if they're really employees for so long. So, you know, when they're interim and so forth. So we'll go over that. And fortunately, we now have an HR consultant. Speaking of consultants, that's tied to our insurance policy, so that'll help us navigate through some of these issues. But we can discuss that off the call. Thank you. Thank you very much.
That's been a
Bill, you're next.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. And yeah, looking at the columns, the different years, it looks like the total revenue dropped in 2014, and then but the numbers you're projecting for 2015, but in numbers you're projecting for 2016, they're actually lower than the average for the previous 3 years. So I'm not sure the revenue numbers are necessarily that high. If you're anticipating to get a new transmitter, is that right?
Yes, we are. We're trying.
But you don't have one yet, right?
No, we do not. We're trying to acquire the transmitter from T, actually.
Right. Yeah. It needs a lot of repairs, though. But I guess something we'll have to look at, whether you need to get a new one or, you know, if you can use our old one and fix it up, that'd be great. And I do know that it hurt us having operating at low power for a couple of years or more. And you've been operating for quite some time also, haven't you, at low power?
We had been operating at low power. I actually came on board towards the end of that, and it was myself and my current maintenance engineer that brought us back up to full power. So we've been at full power for several months now.
I guess that's the most point I was making, is that your revenue is going to depend at least partially on how many people can hear you. And so I agree with you about getting the transmission line replaced. We had to do that about 3 years ago. That was probably related to that lightning strike that we had. And the lightning strike, I guess, just accentuated an existing problem with corrosion in the line. And, you know, they got water in it. It damaged the transmitter even. And they ended up spending, you know, several thousand dollars getting the transmission line replaced. But it was very important. So I'm glad you're planning for that. But one thing I was going to ask, I don't see money in the capital budget for a new transmitter. So is that how is that going to be funded?
That's a good
question. Also the repairs for the old KPFT transmitter.
We're in discussion with KPFT or Steve Brightwell right now. His opinion is that it doesn't need that much work. And we're trying to get an exact read on that. We can't enter figures that we don't really have, and we probably should put in a placeholder in the budget for at least the transport of the transmitter and the installation of it. Off the top of my head, I would say that might be a cost of, I don't know, maybe $20,000. But I agree, there should be a line item for the HD transmitter installation.
And Steve is very knowledgeable. He's especially knowledgeable with that transmitter. He's really sharp. But, yeah, it's not going to be cheap to ship it because it's big and you need it packed well. So $20K may be a little low for getting repaired and shipped. But I hope you can get it done for that. That sounds great.
Well, we're lucky in that we have the local engineering expertise. We've figured out that we don't have to actually send that transmitter to Armstrong for refurbishment, and Steve's under the impression that we should be able to do the repairs ourselves. So that's kind of absorbed in my staff maintenance engineer, if you will, and myself. So the cost really is the cost of installation and transport. And you're right, it's going to be pretty expensive. We're trying to do this sooner than later. And I agree, we should make a budget adjustment to reflect that.
Okay, well, that was the main point. But Steve is good, and he's sharp.
Okay, Bill, you've hit the limit on back and forth. I can put you back on stack if you want to get back on. I have Michael next.
Yeah, I was wondering about a couple of things. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
You said you were putting somebody on salary rather than a contractor, but the overall salary is lower than what was projected. I was wondering what does that reflect? And then I had a question as to whether, are you one of the stations that has passed due central services?
To the latter question, yes, we do have passed due central services.
So is there any planning here for that?
I see. Not within the budget. We recently already have performed a transfer of funds to Pacifica. And it was actually a buffer assist, and we've been working with Efren and Mr. Prophet on the mechanics of whether those funds will be returned to WPFW or applied to Central Services, which is basically why they're not in the budget. If they are applied, we believe we'll be caught up. But yet and still, should that activity be included in the budget?
I think we were talking about maybe showing it on cash flow. The cash flow tab where
the amount payable, the payment amount payable.
Okay, we'll make that change also.
That's my concern. Was on the cash flow. There's a couple of months showing a negative cash balance at the end of the month. So I was wondering if that's a problem we're facing too at KPFK.
What was that again?
On the cash flow forecast tab, there are a couple of months showing a negative cash balance at the end of the month, the January and April. And I was wondering how you plan to handle that.
Again, either with the transfer that we just did or out of funds from our current fund drive. But it should be reflected in the budget, correct?
Can you tell me which line that is, Michael?
Yeah.
I'm looking at FY 2016 cash flow forecast, and so you have 946 cash balance end of month.
Okay, thank you.
I mean, it's something, it's not going to be worth checking till you make all the other changes you talked about to your budget, but then you have to make sure that the way it spreads out over the course of a year, you're not coming up with negative money in any given month.
I see.
That's what that line's showing, is what should be in your bank if everything performs according to the budget.
So this buffer, this buffer that we're discussing, if it doesn't come back to us, then it will be a receivable for us, and it will knock down our payable on the cash flow balance?
The cash flow doesn't show payables, it shows cash.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's in your bank account, right?
Yeah.
I mean, your payables to the national office, you know, what's accumulated over the years is north of $1 million. This isn't saying that's nowhere in here.
And because that's above the total disbursements, payment of accounts payable.
I think I need to have another tutorial from Efren. Is the payables on? Is there a payable tab on this template?
Yeah, it should be at the end. If you click to the right, the mouse.
Okay. Oh, I see. Accounts payable. Okay.
No.
Not populated with much right now.
Right.
I just had one question for y'all, and And, you know, on the cash flow forecast, I hope you'll follow up with Efren on how to make that work. But my question is, like, what's WPFW's plan if it can't make its fundraising goals, like if this fund drive comes up short?
We are exploring several alternate revenue streams, if you will. Courtesy of Mr. Prophet, we're using the language of community partnership, and we've aligned ourselves with over a dozen organizations here in Washington, and we're building projects with them such that if we don't make what we expect on the fund drives, we should be able to more than make that up with the events that we're planning with them. I am trying to avoid extending the fund drive an additional week, because we run into the typical problem of listener fatigue and we start to lose listeners. Currently, we're working on changing our programming, quite frankly. Our target, well, our existent audience is kind of specific, and we are trying to reach out to a much more diverse audience. Washington, the demographics of Washington, D.C. have changed rather dramatically in the last few years, and our programming does not address that, and we're trying to do so. Quite simply, our current audience is an older audience, and we're trying to target a much younger audience right now.
So, I mean, those are all laudable things to do. I mean, my question is, like, in the short term, if you end a fund drive $100,000 short of where you thought you were going to be, do you have immediate cost-saving measures that you're able to take?
Well, we are pretty threadbare right now. It is not feasible, really, for us to cut any further. I've already made some cuts, and short of approaching other streams, I don't see how we can realize any savings in cuts. We basically have nowhere that we can cut, I don't think, at this time. I may be able to move one or two support people to part-time, but that's kind of low-hanging fruit, if you will, and it's not going to make much of a difference. We have to improve our revenue. And actually, it's a good question, because where we stand at this moment, with our current fund drive, we are, in fact, behind. But the trend that I've seen from the last two mini drives that we did was they pick up. And that is our hope right now. I'm open to any advice.
Jerry. Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Paul?
Has our Paul fallen off the stack?
Yes, I apologize. I crossed you off the list for no obvious reason. Please go ahead.
Okay. Fast, a couple of questions. Your goal for this current on-air fundraiser is $350, and how many days is this going for?
Total is 21 days, and we are at our, what would today be? I think we're at our 12th day now.
Okay, and you said something earlier about revenue from this. Were you referring to money that's actually come in or tally?
Tally.
Okay, and in the budget, I am seeing on line 42, at the end of line 42, the bottom line for FY16 is just under $3,900.
Hold on a moment. Line 42, sorry to follow you. I think I might be, I think you're, Nancy, I think we're looking at different sheets here.
I'm on the tab FY 2016 annual budget.
Yeah.
Oh, and I just clicked on it. All right. Yeah.
42 is the net income.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so the bottom line is 38.76.
Okay, I have to go over to another computer. I'm not seeing this.
Column 80.
Yeah, I'm currently working off of a sheet. Hold on. While I do that, can you generalize the question?
I just wanted to check that it was going to be, you know, I'm just checking because a lot of the stations are coming in with bottom lines for the end of the year that basically could vaporize in the course of a single afternoon. And I'm just sort of gauging how very close to the bone all of these budgets tend to be. And that number is under $4,000. So I just wanted to confirm that. I think everybody else sees it, though, right?
Nancy, do you see that?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but I think it's not worth getting hung up on that until the 20 changes that they walked through have been entered into the budget, because obviously it's going to move.
One of the changes was $11,000 in the black, which is because we don't pay any utilities, and that's not reflected in this budget.
Yeah,
and then there's another $12,000 in the black from engineer costs. So, you know, but then there's some other things that are going up, like the transmitter cable. So we don't know what that number really is going to be yet.
And I understand what you're saying is if we're in the black at such a low amount, you're right, that could vaporize at the cost of, you know, a tube.
Well, and it also means that there's no room for catching up on money that WPFW owes from this year.
Yes.
In other words, you would need an operating surplus to pay the money that the National Office advanced for health care in months this year that WPFW wasn't able to pay, and for unpaid central services. I don't know how much it is realistic for WPFW to pay back and how fast, but it's a consideration. A break-even budget means no catch-up payments on anything.
I understand. You know, we tapped into our restricted funds so that we could help catch up with, you know, the health insurance and whatnot. And the thinking is, it was discussed today, rather than those funds being refunded or showing as a cash flow forecast, that those funds be applied towards central services, and then we would rebuild our restricted funds ourselves here. Does that make any sense?
It does. I mean, you have to replenish your restricted funds.
Yes.
And you also have much more than that amount in catch-up payments from this year. And I know this all precedes your tenure. But the national office is right now heavily indebted because several stations like WPFW have not paid their bills to the national office. So if the foundation's going to dig its way out of a hole, it needs something better than everything we didn't pay you goes away at the end of the year.
I understand.
And like I said, it's totally not realistic for that to be a very high figure, but a completely break-even budget means no catch-up at all.
I understand.
And we need to see where these catch-up payments are from and what they are. And I know
when Michelle Price was here, there was some discussion about PPP money that would be applied to our central services. I don't know if it was. I don't know if that's part of the issue or not. But, you know, maybe all this comes out in the audit stuff, but and we need to have a better understanding of the payables and the receivables and, you know, where the history of all of that, so that there's another thing that we did to help out WBAI that we discussed a couple of years ago that we still need to be received credit for. So I don't know if any of that is contributing to the amount that we owe on central services, but I think if we could see all of the different things that are payable and things that we paid towards, that we could figure it out.
Yeah, Tony, please.
Go ahead, Tony.
I just wanted to add, it's true that we're probably behind in central services and our health for maybe 2 or possibly 3 months. That should be
this year. For just this year only.
For this, I mean, we everything else should have been cleared up. There shouldn't be any outstanding central services beyond that, because we straightened all that out on the Raul and balanced that off. So I thought I heard somebody say we owed north of $1 million or something. That's not necessarily true.
That's what our 2013 audit shows as WPFW is payable at the end of 2013.
That needs to be, we actually cleared all that up on the Raul, and we can go back and verify that, and we can need to look at that, because we paid up everything that was owed and had a balance about a year ago. And so we'll have to go back and look at that. But I do know the central services and healthcare were probably 2 or 3 months, and we do need to work something out and catch up on that.
We have 4 months in central services and 25,000 in healthcare under reimbursement.
So you're saying it's 4 months?
The central services is 4 months, totaling 61.
Okay.
And healthcare is almost 3 months, totaling 25.
3 months.
That means back to August?
August, September, and then October.
August, September, and October.
And then central services up to September, from June, July, August, September. And then October is almost, well, been halfway almost.
So let me write this down again. So August, September, October for healthcare is what you said?
Yeah, 3 months. August, September, October.
September, October, healthcare. And what about central services?
It's until September is 4 months, not counting October.
So June.
So that,
right?
Or June, July, August, September.
So, folks, I want to encourage you to work on this off the call. Sounds like you're making good progress in your budget. And appreciate the presentation, the thoughtfulness that's going into your facility needs and your transmitter needs. But we are past time for this meeting, and I know it's getting very late where you are. Unless there's a motion to extend, we will be adjourned for the night.
This is the I was on standby. I'm not on this call.
Who's this?
Bertolt.
Bertolt from WBAI, the manager.
I was told to be on standby.
Actually, Bertolt, if you remember, I told you that if I didn't call you by 8:45, you weren't going to be on tonight.
Okay.
So,
all right.
All right.
Michael, this is actually one brief comment before we adjourn.
I'm sorry. If you want to make a motion to extend, that's the only comment I'll entertain. We're past our adjournment time.
Please stand for 2 minutes.
Does anyone object to extending for 2 minutes? Okay, you've got it. Go ahead, Michael.
Okay, so I think it's a continuing problem that around central services that we show them in the budget, whether, you know, as accruals, whether they're paid or not, when everything else is things are actually spending. And related to that, I think where we put them, we have like line 34, total operating expenses, and then we list central services as if it's not really an operating expense. And I think that should be corrected in some way, shape, or form on the templates, because essentially the stations do have to consider that an operating expense. I mean, that's the problem that we're facing, is it? And then related to that, I think we have to make some distinction between the two things that everyone was talking about. One is non-payment of central services. The other is the national office making payment for other obligations of the station apart from central services. And to me, those are obviously a much more pressing and immediate obligation also. And that this has to be somebody to reflect that in the payables or something. That's all.
Bill, real quick comment.
Folks, we're going down an item that's not even on our agenda here. What is it, Bill? We've got 60 seconds left on our extension.
I was just going to suggest that Jerry mentioned direct mail earlier. Talk to Robin Lewis, our development director. She has experience with that, and there's different kinds of direct mail, and maybe she can help you estimate possible revenue from that and what strategies would work better.
Okay.
KPFT's development director.
Okay. Thank you very much.
And thank you for being on the call.
Thanks for inviting.
All right. When can we hope to have a revised and completed version of the budget from y'all?
Go ahead, Nancy.
We will work with Markeisha on this, and we're going to have another meeting in 2 weeks, our local finance committee. And so if it's still preliminary, we would bring it before you. If not, we'll wait until the local station board meeting so they can approve it to send to you.
So here's my position on that, is that the clock ran out for local station boards when the fiscal year started. I mean, it's great to take it to your local station board, but at this point we can't afford to wait on a local station board, right? We have to move towards getting budgets into place for the stations, because right now we're flying without a map.
When is our next NFC meeting?
Our next meeting is this coming Monday, and our following meeting is the 27th of October.
Well, I mean, the changes we discussed and all agreed upon tonight are pretty straightforward, so we could probably have it by Monday night, do you think, Jerry?
Yeah, I agree. Some new issues came up that we have to take a look at. But yes, we can get through the fundamental changes that we were discussing. And Nancy, off call, will discuss if we can have a complete budget for next Monday.
Nancy, we can talk tomorrow.
Terrific.
Okay. Great. We will hope to talk to you then. And the meeting's now adjourned. Good night, everybody. Thank you for your work. Talk to you Monday.
Good night.
Thanks, everyone.
Good night.